By making peacekeeping the centerpiece of foreign policy, Bani Marama's government have, I've actually argued that has unwittingly spawned the political instability, you know, as the military's capability to intervene in domestic politics has become increasingly facilitated by the fact that its numbers have swelled due to overseas peacekeeping commitments, such as the latest in the Golan Heights.
Now, what do you know about this particular commitment? And for instance, is this the end of it, or will it continue to escalate? Will Fiji keep sending more and more and more troops there?
Well, this is the issue, I think, that has concerned, I think, Australia and New Zealand, is that Fiji has, in fact, has the largest number in of troops in peacekeeping, given its size and capacity to afford such peacekeeping, deployments. And so it's a troop-contributing country. It's quite, a big issue as to its deployment. And now I think the Russians now have come in to assist Fijian peacekeepers in the goal line by providing or equipping the battalion that is presently being deployed at the moment.
I was going to ask you about that. Do you know any more of the detail of what Russia is supplying Fiji?
Well, you see, ever since Fiji's first deployment in UN peacekeeping in 1978, Australia has been good enough to supply logistize Fiji's deployments. I did the reconnaissance of Fiji's last deployment to Iraq, and we were able to deploy quickly because Australia came in and supported, or in fact assisted, the logistics of that deployment. So because of Fiji's defense relationship with Australia has been suspended, the defense cooperation program, it has to actually go and seek assistance from other countries, because Fiji is not able to in fact deploy to such UN, hotspots without assistance from larger countries. And that's the reason that, Russia has come in to assist Fiji. And of course, we know that Russia is, in fact, has sided with the Assad government, these Syrian forces. And so this, in some way, actually heightens the risk to Fiji troops. The word will get out that the Fiji troops have been assisted by the Russians, and it somewhat actually will actually cause problems, I'd say, in the future of this deployment to the Golan Heights.
Well, Russia is a key player in the Middle East and has, as we've been discussing, offered Fiji help with the UN deployment. What would this indicate about the Fiji-Russian relationship?
Well, you see, the Middle East, and in fact, Fiji also is in the Sinai and Lebanon, formerly, and it pulled out of Lebanon in 2002, by the way. But you see, the Middle East was almost designed to be the everlasting battleground for other political, strategic, and ideological conflicts. So Fiji has, because of its small size and its remoteness from the Middle East, has been seen as an ideal sort of player in trying to mediate conflicts. And so as far as Fiji is concerned, it's not a new player in as far as peacekeeping is concerned in the Middle East. But with this one, it can be actually said that Fiji will actually be tainted as being sort of siding with the Russians. This is what I say.
How will I be tainted?
Well, as I say, I mean, we'll get out that, the Fijian peacekeepers have actually been, logistized, or equipment has been provided by the Russians for the deployment of the battalion. And that won't actually sit well with anti-Assad, government forces in the civil war that is actually raging in Syria at the moment.
Now, Commodore Frank Barney Marama paid a visit to Moscow recently, ostensibly for the Fiji, well, not for the Fiji, for the World Cup Sevens. He had a series of meetings. Medvedev and others have come out and said that, you know, leave Fiji alone to get on with their own road back to democracy in the 2014 elections and other comments like that. Is Russia becoming the big brother to Fiji, and why are they now, if you like, meddling in Fiji politics?
Well, in fact, Fiji and other, you know, island states, ever since independence, have been playing the sovereignty card, you know, quite well against Australia, New Zealand, and in fact, against, you know, pretty much every other sort of global power. So I see this as nothing new. Russia is, in fact, Fiji is using Russia as such a card. It's used China well, you know, in the last 6 or 7 years that the regime has been in power. And I think this is not a sort of card, I suppose, that the sovereignty card that Fiji is using against its regional neighbours.
Now, with the munitions and the guns and arms that Russia is offering Fiji so that they can be well-equipped to undertake these UN assignments, Fiji will become a well-armed, well-oiled force in the region. Is that a concern?
Well, this is one of the things that I've argued in the past, that Fiji's military is domestic political role has been influenced by its peacekeeping experiences, where I see the mediator role has become ingrained in the collective military psyche, and so this sort of change in mindset is aided by a military that sees itself as all powerful. And it has affected Fiji in that it sees itself as being part of a political, or giving itself this political role back home. And with all this hardware that it has it will acquire, it sort of, you know, gives them the confidence to see themselves as mediators.
What does Russia get in return?
Well, I suppose That is a question, yet to be answered in our region. This is quite a new turn of events in as far as the region is concerned. This is the first time that Russia is playing quite a substantive role in as far as security for a small nation like Fiji. I think Russia has its own, interest in the Middle East, and it is using Fiji, and Fiji has become like a mercenary. I mean, the UN peacekeeping, as far as Fiji is concerned, people see now Fiji as pretty much a mercenary. You see, the Austrian battalion that has pulled out is a much more well-equipped battalion. Fiji is replacing that battalion. So it's, I think it's in Russia's interest that, it sees Fiji in the Middle East. It gives it a much more, stronger bargain as opposed to against the U.S.,
Now, 380 Fijian troops, adding to the already 183 troops there, it's been reported that Fiji could send up to 1,200 troops. Is that possible?
Well, you see, this is it. With the extra 380 troops being sent, you now have, you will have about a third of Fiji's active forces serving in peacekeeping, on peacekeeping duties. With more troops, you have almost half of Fiji's active forces, or what they call regular forces, serving on peacekeeping. And it actually justifies Bainimarama's hold on power in Fiji. So this is the downside about it. The paradox of the whole situation is that by actually going out or going to provide for international peace, it gives it a justification to, in fact, have a bigger military within Fiji that is, in fact, an oppressive force against the people of Fiji.
And, of course, it earns Fiji a lot of money because it's quite a lucrative business, peacekeeping.
Well, it certainly for the military, but I don't think for the nation it is good. If you look, you do a cost-benefit analysis of the peacekeeping remittances Fiji, and you look at the cost of coups, you know, the last three coups in the last 25 years, I think you find that it's been a great cost to Fiji, what the military has done to Fiji. So it doesn't balance out. Of course, it helps Bainimarama's military. You know, soldiers get good allowances. The families are well looked after. But on the whole, if you look at it, Fiji's poverty rate is about what? It's almost 50 to 60% at the moment, as far as the population is concerned.